Welcome to Drone It Group Drone Business Chats. We talk about the ups and downs of being in the drone industry with Lee Castledine and Andy P.
Righto, cool. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Andy.
G'day. And
good morning to all our listeners.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you might be listening.
Yeah, well, it's been a little while. I've been away travelling and
yeah,
I
that's
thought,
pretty exciting.
What better time to sit down and have a bit of a chat about, I suppose, my recent experience travelling with drones. So, yeah, I suppose the way that drones are made these days, they're built for travel. And I had a couple of little nasty incidences.
We have, all of us have. We've all, I reckon.
We've all had.
If you have had anything to do with drones, I'm sure you've had some sort of story about travelling not going as planned.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you go, Lee? Where was your where did you drop yourself off?
Me and my partner, Elle, went to Cambodia this time around. We did a bit of work with some of the orphan kids over there. And, well, we didn't teach them English, but we tried to. And it was an amazing experience. Every time we travel, we've got a little a travel blogging business. And part of that is, you know, we go over and capture content as well. And I love just taking my drone. And
Travelly.com.au.
For those who are interested, yeah. It's
did
a nice
I say that?
You sure did, mate. Gave a bit of a plug. Thank you very much.
No dramas.
But every time we go, we you know, part of our aim is to capture content for the cause, and that includes taking my drone over as well. And I tell you what, in the last 18 months, it's got a lot easier taking drones over, and especially getting through security as well. They're not as scared when you take a battery that looks something a little like this through security, and you've probably got about five or six of them, and they start getting a bit nervous because the lights go on when you need to press them and that. So a lot of them are getting a bit more
lights
trained up
now.
These days.
Well, they were.
Yeah, so anyway, that was a nice little experience. Yeah, the good things and the bad things that came out of that one, I suppose I'll share with you as well. But what's in the news this week?
Wait, look, I've been following a lot of stuff about anti-drones because the whole anti-drone industry is by likely to be as large as the drone industry.
Is that I saw something the other day.
Is
that I saw something in the news where someone's got this gun, right, and shoots has the ability to basically block the radio frequencies.
Boom.
Is that right? But
correct.
I'm fascinated by the size of the gun that's required to do that. Have you seen the size of these guns? It's like it's a Halo gun. I don't know what it weighs. It doesn't look like
He's got a backpack too. I saw the cop with it and I was like,
it's
wow.
Like Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters versus Robocop, like the amalgamation of. Like,
pretty awesome technique though. I mean, sort of not technique, but I don't know. Just it's obviously a booming industry.
It is,
Especially for those people or those organisations who are a little bit protective of their area and their space.
Well, I totally understand, and especially Drone Shield's pretty big in Australia because they are an Australian company, and their big push is to put in sort of Sentry anti-drone systems for stuff like, say, let's say the MCG, places where there's going to be a lot of people. They'll have mobile Sentry things for stuff like events, like sort of say like a St. Kilda festival or like a Moomba or like a... a river festival or something like that, and that complements then the sort of mobile handheld stuff that you were mentioning that you saw that was used, I guess, on the Gold Coast recently. Whether that was true or not, the cops brought down a rogue drone right before the game, sort of flexing the muscle.
Do you reckon that was staged?
Well.
My thing about I like to see the
I didn't see a drone.
I didn't see a drone. Well, that's probably
why. I saw
the
gun.
The job done. You haven't seen the drone, hey? The job has been done.
Well done.
I'd like to see the technology. I'd like to actually test it out and see what range it's got as well.
I thought it looks like a tractor beam. That would be kind of cool. Like,
it would be good to see how far the range goes. If you're flying a drone 500 meters, a kilometer away, what's the capability of it? And how close do you have to get? Because I know playing Xbox with my kids, I'm not a great shot. What's the range? What's the spread? If you've got to be dead eye dick with it, then I'm going to miss most times. I'm going to spin there and.
Yeah, look, you know what? Next anti-drone industry conference, we're going.
Yeah, I'm going to ask some. I'm going to ask some good questions.
We're going. There.
I don't have the answers yet. I should actually. We should have it for this podcast, but we don't.
Now,
we've probably got more questions than answers.
But the interesting thing with our friends in the anti-drone industry is recently in Italy, a couple of undesirable blokes were selling anti-drone systems to even less undesirable people, namely sort of terrorist organizations. So, and yeah, so it was a case of the people that you make anti-drone systems for actually selling anti-drone systems. So, that's pretty interesting.
And how long has this been going on for?
Wow. Yeah.
Not so much that whole process, the fact that, you know, going in the past, people, you know, governments selling weapons to terrorist organizations, to the wrong people,
and then going, oh, maybe we shouldn't have sold it to.
Do you think one of these guns are going to? Do you think one of these guns could take down a, I don't know, like a proper army drone that flies,
well,
you know, 5 kilometers? It might take down a Phantom or an Inspire,
yeah.
But I don't think too many army organizations, apart from, you know, using it for a little bit of recon, are going to be. You know, using these off-the-shelf commercial drones.
It is funny you say that, Lee, because the Russians at the moment are actually pumping up the jam on US. Pumping up the jam on US drones in Syria and compromising their intelligence efforts. Let's hope that situation there doesn't escalate into anything hot.
That's all very interesting information. Very hardcore, isn't it?
Yeah, look, there's just drone stuff just going on all over
everywhere,
the place, man.
Everywhere. So let's sort of bring it back a bit. Obviously, we've spoken a bit about anti-drones and the massive industry that's going to turn into as well. Let's have a bit of a chat about traveling and I suppose our experiences over the last sort of 3 or 4 years with traveling with drones and how it's got easier, or whether it's got more difficult in places as well. And I suppose what's your, you know, when you first started, how did you find traveling with drones, and I suppose where have you come from since then?
Yeah, look, I mean, so I initially obviously with the Phantom 2, that was fine. Before I traveled, I'd done a little bit of research on domestic travel in Australia, and it was all about, they were, you know, LiPo batteries. They'd had problems in the past with camera batteries, sort of not doing too well on planes. So it's basically, you know, just take that. It's advised you take those batteries with you. I bought the travel stuff. You get them, they're like travel bags. I'll show you one later.
The big backpacks?
No, the little silver anti-fire.
Ah, yes.
Anti-fire things that you could get. Yeah. So we got I used a couple of those, and look, I had no dramas. Those batteries sort of were under the voltage or milli working hour amps of 100, I think, you know, otherwise they start to freak out. But I pretty soon after that I started traveling with an Inspire, and I got caught short right at the line. So I was coming back to Queensland from Perth, with an airline, and unfortunately for me, they pulled out all the batteries and had a look, and I hadn't done my due diligence, and they said, well, you've got the TB48s, and they are,
remind me what the TB48s are.
This was that battery that you had in your hand not long ago.
This,
so
one, yeah.
They're an Inspire battery, and the 47s are under 100 milli working hours, whereas the TB48s are about 122.
Yep.
So that crosses the threshold for certain airlines with their stuff, and they were basically like, nah, you can't take that on the plane. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And they're like, well, you can post it or that. I go, my plane's leaving soon. They're like, oh, you can throw it in the bin. Like,
well, it's not like a bottle of water. Well, it's probably as expensive as a bottle of water
at the airport anyway. So. Yeah. And I was like, wow, what do I do? So lucky for me, get out of jail. My mate that had dropped me off was only a few minutes around the corner. I rang him back up and he got my batteries and sent them to me. But It was a lesson learnt in domestic travel with drones.
Now that was a few years ago, so things have obviously changed a fair bit then. What I have experienced is that no longer you are sort of deemed an unworthy person to fly because you're taking batteries on board. So the rules are pretty straightforward in Australia in the fact that if you've got a battery that is under 100 100 milli working hours.
Yes.
Now, a lot of the batteries that DJI make these days, the standard ones, are under 99.96. So they know the rules and they've developed batteries accordingly. But from an education point of view, the security are much sort of well aware of what these batteries are, because if you take anywhere up to sort of half a dozen, it does look a little bit dodgy when you take a carry case with all these batteries with lights on them. But they're a bit more educated these days. Just be sure to take anything, any batteries have to go in overhead luggage. Always make sure that that's the case. And also just decide when... What type of drone do you need for your work? For me, with my travel to Cambodia, I was never going to take an Inspire. I was never going to take a Phantom 3 or even a Phantom 4. I took a Mavic, which obviously everyone knows what a Mavic is, but that's pretty much what the Mavic. You've got three or four batteries there, a little controller. It's perfect for travel. So for me, that's my go-to drone now whenever I travel overseas. If we travel locally, yeah, it's an amazing little drone, this one. Obviously, there's a new one out, not a new one out, the Spark as well. But I just think that a drone like that, for what is required, obviously, you've got to take into account what the client wants. If the client wants high-end production, you're obviously going to have to take an Inspire. We've got massive Peli cases for that. But more importantly, when you're traveling with your batteries, make sure you have them in your overhead luggage, and you can only take two from what I've recently caught up with all the rules and regs.
Two per person.
That are over 100. You can take as many as you want that it's under 100. You can take 20 batteries.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I've pushed my luggage limit for carry-on quite a few times and sweated.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. There's nothing worse than you go up to the as you get on the plane and there's a set of scales there, and you really start to sweat, and those four coffees that cost you $50 really start to kick in around then, I tell you.
So I mean, that's the thing. Like, so these days it's a lot easier getting through security. It's probably the main message that we're trying to get across, and just be open as you can. Just
open,
say,
exactly right,
and just say, look, you know, they're drone batteries, and a lot of them. The way that these batteries are built, they're intelligent batteries, so they're not worried.
So that's what you put them in, is the LiPo.
LiPo safe, so they're fireproof as well. And even they're happy enough with these because the ends on them are secured as well, and they're in a case in itself. So,
yeah, that's right. They're not like the old ones that were like real, just sort of, they were like hobbyist model battery things. They had, you know, exposed stuff at the end that could, if it hit another bit of metal, sort of spark up some heat.
Yeah.
And then if there was something flammable around that, would start a fire.
So, you know, with that, you've got obviously, when I travel, I only take the one drone. It's a bit risky. But I think the places that I go to, I can't afford to take two drones. You know, we've got all that. We've got other camera gear as well. You know, sort of SLR cameras. We've got GoPros. And we've also got a drone as well. So I'm limited with the amount of the weight that I can take on my travels. But obviously, if you're doing commercial jobs within Australia or all around the world, you've got to take into account taking a backup drone as well. And
definitely.
You know, on our bigger jobs that we have, we take our Inspire with the X5R camera. Really, it's an amazing camera. It's an amazing drone. But also take a backup, and our backups are normally a P3 or a P4, Phantom 3 or Phantom 4, and sometimes even a Mavic, because last thing you want to do, look, there are pieces of technology that can glitch from time to time. Last thing you do is want to go to a site and find out that the drone's not working and not have a backup. So that's important, but sometimes you can't. When you're traveling lightly and you're doing some sort of adventure stuff like I've been doing recently.
Adventure man.
Adventure man.
So look, when I went to Hawaii, I'm not sure what it was like for Cambodia, but when I was flying in Hawaii, I'd done a little bit of research, And it was a case that I had to pay $10 so I could get like a foreigner's permit for flying, which meant that I could fly within the FAA rules. And so, look, that was kind of cool. I'd done it all online while I was doing my visa to go to the States. And that was sweet. I mean, it's not like I carried a bit of paper around with me. I had the email, so that was cool. But look, yeah, getting to Hawaii, I didn't have any troubles going through security or anything like that with the Yanks, and getting that stuff online. I haven't traveled there since, but I'm not sure what that was like. The only, so flying the drone around Hawaii, that was, I guess, a little bit different because Hawaii is quite militarized. There's a lot of US bases there.
Yep.
So you had to keep a bit of that, you know, in mind when flying around. Actually, you didn't, because there were a lot of signs around Hawaii saying no drones, thank you very much.
And that's the thing, you've got to take into account the overall governing laws, and there's a good website or a good link. I think have we put it up on our Facebook website?
I have. It's drone laws for every country in the world, recreational use only.
I mean, whoever's designed this has gone to a lot of effort and looked at each country and their overarching rules and regs. Look, a lot of them are the same, you know, stick within, yeah, you know, outside of the 30 meters of people, don't fly over 400 feet. Where I think people get caught, and I got caught recently in Cambodia, literally got caught, was a, you know, had a look at the rules in Cambodia, you know, very similar. But a lot of them, like in Australia, you've got your local laws as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in Australia, we've got our CASA rules and regs. But then each council have different sort of bylaws or their own little
laws.
So yes, you think you do all your due diligence and you think you're doing the right thing, and next thing you know, you can't fly in an area because there's a sign that they put up and no one really knows about it. Even the people who put the signs up don't even really know what it means. So in this situation,
it's especially hard if the signs are also in Khmer, which is like, you know. Yeah.
Well, the incident that I'm talking about was we went to a famous temple, Angkor Wat, in Siem Reap Cambodia. Angkor Wat? And it was like, it's an amazing temple, 1,000 years old. I thought, I have to capture this if obviously there's and I walked in and I had a look at the local law at on this website, same rules apply. Now, the ticket that we bought to get into this place, and I'll show you the picture, actually.
So it's sort of like you line up, you go to Angkor Wat, you get your ticket.
Well, you go to another area to get your ticket, and then you go into this massive area, you buy a ticket, and then that gets you access to about 30 or 40 temples.
Up until that point, anything about drones anywhere?
Nothing.
Right.
No signs, anything.
Okay.
So I'm keeping an eye out going, righto, where can we and can't we fly? Oh, that's apologies for that. That's a carton. and so I'm thinking, there's no signs here. There's absolutely no signs, no local laws to say that I can't fly a drone here. This is amazing. I can't believe this hasn't happened yet. Now, maybe in Cambodia, rules are a little bit more relaxed, you know, because people can climb over temples there. You know, 1,000-year-old structures, people are walking over it. We did it. You know, there's no rules like in Australia, very different. But so I, you know, make sure that, right, I'm going to capture this beautiful temple. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to stay well away from all the people.
Now, there are a lot of people there.
There are a lot of people.
It's a wonder. I think it might be. One of the seven wonders of the world.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, there's a few different seven wonders. There's industrial, like, you know, this is not
there's natural. Man-made and there's natural.
Yeah, this is
and
not
it is
a natural
one of the man-made ones, of course.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Amazing temple. So I thought, I'm going to take this drone. I'm going to stay well away from everybody, not even get close to anyone. So I go off to a nice little alleyway and put the drone up and get this beautiful sort of orbit around Angkor Wat, and we'll probably put a video up soon.
We will. It's good footage, I've seen.
Andy,
it's
I've just got
cool.
to wait for my editor to do some edits. Still waiting for that. He hasn't called me back. So next thing you know, and I'm doing the right thing, I'm staying well away. There's no signs. I've walked all across Angkor Wat, the whole temple, an hour before that, and didn't see any signs. So I thought, surely this is fine as long as I'm, you know, respecting the area. Take the drone up, get the amazing shots, bring it back down. The moment I bring it back down, obviously the security guards have followed me everywhere, and they're just following the drone and bring it straight back down. And all of a sudden, these little security guards from everywhere pop out. There's about six of them just all going, yelling at me. I'm going, hey, easy, easy, guys. It's okay. I'm just flying a drone. There's no signs here. They said, it's on your ticket. Now, on the ticket is about 20 different languages. Chinese, to take into account all of all the different nations and country people that come across, and in this tiny little area, the bottom right hand corner is saying no drones.
Oh,
that's it. It was like three or four words, and they really grilled me, and they asked me to delete all the footage and take the. Now they were a little bit. They didn't know too much about the.
So how many of these guys were they? And were they camouflaged? Did they just pop out of nowhere?
Popped out of nowhere. Boom. Having said that, I had Elle and a couple of other people who travel with me. I said just spot for me just to make sure that there's no security guards are going to come in. If they come, I'll have a chat to them. But they just got taken aback because these guys popped out from nowhere and asked me to delete all the footage from the phone.
Mm.
So I got a bit sneaky here and I thought, okay. I was just calming him down saying, and more importantly, they wanted to know whether I was flying commercially for commercial gain or whether I was a tourist. And I said, look, I'm just a tourist. I'm just taking some footage. I'm not getting paid for this. Obviously, with that you need to apply for a permit. What I found out, you need to apply for a permit.
But it's true. You're not flying for anyone. No. You were just flying for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So the rules are, getting back on this, wherever you travel, the rules are a little bit grey. So you really have to do your due diligence, not only on these websites that we'll put a link up as well. We already have, but also the local laws as well. So always keep an eye out for the signs, no drones. If there's no drones, hey, go nuts, but also keep in mind to be respectful, because at the end of the day, I always believe it's better to ask for an apology than approval, because trying to get approval to fly there would have been an absolute nightmare. Yep. I wouldn't have
dished out a fair bit of cash, I reckon.
Yeah, and again, it's not for commercial use.
Help the local economy.
Well, we did in many ways. Long story short, they asked for the footage. I said, righto, I was a bit sneaky and I made sure I knew that they didn't know that it was a SIM card.
Take note of this, guys. Anyone that gets busted in the future,
obviously you've got your SIM card in your drone. That's always going to be there. But download some footage onto your phone. Show them that the footage is there on your phone and you're deleting it. Bang, 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 bang. Delete. Look, there's nothing left. I'm apologize. I won't do it again. Hand on my heart. It was an absolute accident. Next thing you know, you've got a SIM card there. You can take back home. You can download all the footage you want, which is what we've done.
And why not too? Because it's a beautiful spot. Share the love.
Share it. We weren't doing anything stupid. Mm. The rules are a little bit grey. And if they are a little bit grey, I always believe, hey, have a go. But as long as you're doing the right thing, you're not flying close to people. You're still sticking within those rules that are pretty much standard across the world. Hmm. That is my story. I dare believe the places where.
So what did you learn out of that? What did you learn for travel, say, in the future to countries that don't speak English, I guess, for one thing?
Look, as long as you've got the right intentions, that's the main thing. Again, if it's commercial use, different story. You will need to apply for grants and stuff like that if you are filming but if you're doing tourism stuff, keep an eye out. More importantly, keep an eye out for any local signs. There's a fair bit in New Zealand. I travelled there recently last year. There's a lot there, which is quite surprising.
Because there's a lot of helicopter tours.
True. So have a look. And if there's no signs up, have a crack. Obviously, stick within the rules, but have a go, because these are amazing places that you travel to and you probably only travel to them once.
Yeah, that's right.
Get the drone up there.
Yeah. Don't abuse it. You will regret more the fact you didn't go.
Exactly.
That's just the people will be like, oh, wow, Lee, did you go when you went to Angkor Wat, did you throw the drone up? No.
Yeah.
Now that no sucks harder, like, or than saying, yeah, I threw it up, I got in trouble, but I got some cool footage.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't hurt anyone.
That's the main thing. So I dare say that'll happen again. Well, I think we're off to India next trip. So I know the rules are a lot tighter there because their local laws are that drones are banned full stop.
Definitely around a lot of their fabulous monuments. Yeah.
Oh, we won't be going to monuments. We'll be going to remote locations. So
okay, that's probably going to be a bit different. And hopefully when you do go to these remote locations, they are in some some beautiful countryside. But yeah, which I'm sure India is full of.
We'll be sharing that information and sharing those that amazing content with you guys. So if you've got any questions at all with regard to travel, please feel free to contact us. You know, all of our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram. We're across.
We've both travelled like around, you know, a fair bit of a little bit of the world with drones. Now, I mean, Hawaii was a good eye opener for me. I had to deal with some locals there. When I flew my drone around, there was some guy trying to capture pig, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, cool." And then he saw me with the drone, and he flipped out.
Yeah,
and he was dropping.
Was he?
He was like.
Well, man, those pig off, did he?
Yeah, no, he's like, man, those drones are following me around everywhere. He was one of those guys, right? And blah, 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 blah. And then he drives off. I'm like, oh, well, you know, cool, man. And then this dude walks up. He goes, where's drone? Oh. I'm like, it's just there. He goes, you're flying over my house. You're flying over my farm. People get hurt and all this stuff. He goes, some guys just came from Texas and just crashed their drone and hurt people and blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, you know what, dude? I'm bringing it in now. It's cool. Do you want to have a look at the footage? No, I don't want to have a look at the footage. Okay, cool. I'm bringing it in. And he was shadowing me the whole time. And I was just like, and he's like, you know, oh, how would you feel if people were doing it in your sort of home? Blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, well, I mean, personally, I was like, well, it happens. Yeah. I don't care. I deal with drones every day. I was like, look, man, it's cool. It's cool. Here's the footage. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff is you know, just
different cultures.
Don't be combative, man.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, it's so much easier in that way to pull it down, let them go off, drive up the road a kilometer, and then you can still float, throw your drone back up, get that awesome sunset or whatever.
And a lot of these areas that you're flying, it's best to put the drone up to the maximum 100 odd meters, so that especially with a little Mavic, a lot of the times they can't be heard or can't be seen. So as long as you're up there, and again, if you get approached by locals, you know, every culture is different with regard to how they perceive drones in Australia now. It's so different. Like 3 years ago, people go, oh, what's this drone? And come up and some would get there. It's sort of people see it and don't even blink these days. So, but every culture is different. Well, so
this guy actually expected me to be combative because he actually goes off and we shook hands and chatted a bit after. And he was like, oh, thank you for pulling that down. I appreciate you respecting us by doing that. He goes, the last guys didn't. And I was like, well, that's cool. So one up for the Aussies. You know what I'm saying? Cool bananas.
Cool,
like you were saying, Lee, look, we've both got a bit of travel under our belt. We've got one of our other drone team members embedded in China at the moment, and we're looking very forward for
I think
for
he's
them
coming
to come back.
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
He might come back. He's enjoying the remote work there.
I'll be looking forward to seeing what sort of footage he gets. And he did run into a few technical issues over there.
Technical issues with drones? No. All right. So, really looking forward to that. We'll have a chat with him when he lands back and talk to him about how his flying around in China went and what's the scene like there in China with drones. I think he actually told me he actually flew three other people's drones while he was in around the Great Wall. Like people
it's almost
didn't
like
know
synchronized what, drones.
Yeah, he was there going, "Oh, I'll give you a hand. I'll give you a hand." So that I can't wait to hear more about that story. So look, any questions about drones in other countries, mate? You know, look it up on the net. By all means, come have a chat with us because we're we've done it. We've been there. We've made the mistakes, and we know what to do. To make sure that your traveling with drones is smooth.
Absolutely. It's been great chatting, Andy, yet again.
Mate, look, we've got a big day ahead of us.
We've got some edits to do, haven't we?
A lot of editing. We've got some planning for some shoots next week.
What's on?
You're going to Fraser Island, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Taking the drone up for that.
I will be taking my drone up for
that. Bloody better. And that's all good. All right, thank you very much. Can't wait for the next episode to talk about some Chinese trips in Fraser Island.
Sounds good.
All right.
Cheers, guys.
All right.